Hey, this is Tama Tonga, Bullet Club original, OG, triple, O freaking G, New Japan Pro Wrestling athlete, and you're listening to Wrestle In.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, ohayo, konnichiwa, konbanwa, welcome to Noob Japan. This is a Wrestle In podcast in which we try to impart knowledge about the wonderful world of Japanese pro wrestling, one wrestler at a time. In each episode, we pick a wrestler and give an overview of who they are and what makes them special. The conversation is guided by an enthusiast who is a fan of the wrestler as they try to enlighten our self-proclaimed noob who is eager to learn more. We're all a noob at something, but rather than leaving you to fend for yourself whilst kids are half our age destroy us on games like Fortnite these days, we're here to help. For this episode, the noob is myself, Kieran RH, but far more importantly, I'm super excited to be the noob because joining me as the enthusiast for this episode is one of the most knowledgeable fans when it comes to Japanese pro wrestling, especially outside of the bigger promotions. When I came up with the idea for this podcast, he was one of the first people I reached out to because he's a treasure trove of great wrestling recommendations and solid opinions. You can check out his work through Eastern Lariat's Patreon at patreon.com/EasternLariat. You can follow him on Twitter at bmcooley, that's B-E-M-C-C-O-O-L-E-Y. And it's one of the best following decisions you will make. I'm talking about the seasoned Robert McCauley. Robert, thanks for joining me.
Wow, how cool is this, man? I listened to the first episode, which I don't think you've released yet, right?
Not publicly, no. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got a sneak preview.
So, you know, you're talking about Okada, and it's just no better follow-up here than Takeshita, who a lot of people would argue is DDT's version of Okada.
Yeah, it's quite interesting you said that to me because, you know, I reached out to you fully aware that, you know, for you to be the enthusiast specifically, you was never going to come on this podcast as a noob. Your wrestling appetite far outweighs my own, and you were quickly delighted because you did agree to come on the podcast, and you had a name in mind straight away, obviously, Konosuke Takeshita, as you said, from DDT. Why did you want to put the spotlight on Takeshita?
Takeshita, DDT right now is in the middle of their DO tournament, which is their G1 climax. So, and he's the champion heading into it, and there's a possibility that he's going to win this tournament and challenge maybe Kenny Omega. So there's some big interesting things going on with Takeshita right now that I thought this would be the perfect time to spotlight him.
Yeah, I had no idea about that. I can't wait to dive into that more. But to get things kick-started, obviously Dave Meltzer has his famous 5-star rating system, but here at Noob Japan we have the 10-star noob rating system. In this, the noob will grade themselves on a scale of 1 to 10 about how much they know about the wrestler we're going to be talking about. So in this case, I'll be grading myself, and I know very little about Takeshita. I've been lucky enough to see him wrestle in Korakuen Hall at least once, I want to say twice, at the show they do in the new year. I think it's the 3rd of January show. And I've seen a handful of his matches to know that he is something special. But I couldn't tell you the first thing about him. I couldn't tell you what moves he does. I couldn't tell you what his character is. I couldn't tell you what group he's part of in DDT. So I'm going to have to give myself a really low number 2.
But, wow. I mean, you've seen him live, though. That's crazy.
Yeah, I can't. I want to say it's January 3rd, but in 2020 and 2019, the DDT shows, because I was there for Wrestle Kingdom. I have a vivid memory, actually. So I was sat near the stairs, and he was stood on the stairs watching one of the matches. And, like, half the time, I'm like, oh, he's right there. Should I go and get a selfie? And I'm like, no, I don't want to be that guy. Like, everyone's leaving him alone, so I let him be whilst he enjoyed the match. But, yeah, no, I do know I know he's great. I'm excited that you mentioned him because he is someone that I actively want to learn more about. You know, it's not going to be exciting if someone recommends a wrestler that I don't know and I'm like, I don't really care about them. This is someone I've got a genuine interest in. So hopefully that number is going to bump way up from number 2. So Rob, it's time for you to take me to school and we might as well kick it off with the most obvious question. Who is Konosuke Takeshita?
Well, I mean, like I mentioned earlier, you know, he's commonly referred to as DDT's Okada. He's like such a prodigy at wrestling. It's insane. I mean, he started training at the age of 16, and his first official match was at Sumo Hall. No, sorry. It was at Budokan, at Sumo Hall. Jesus. And he wrestled El Generico, of all people. First match ever.
Wow. Was that like as a... Did DDT have like a young lion equivalent? Was that him as a young lion of sorts, or?
Yeah, of sorts. I mean, he was already training at that point. He'd already won the Iron Man title even before that as a fan. But his first official debut match, he wrestled El Generico in a singles match.
That's crazy. And Budokan Hall as well, of all places. Jesus.
I know. And then, you know, he was the Tokyo Sports Rookie of the Year 2013. He was the first to ever do that while still in high school. Like, you just stack up how much this guy has done. He's only 26 right now.
Yeah,
like, that's... 5 times as the KOD champion, which is the top title in DDT. I mean, 2014 in Sumo Hall is where he wrestled Hiroshi Tanahashi in the singles.
I had no idea.
2 years into his career and he's wrestling Tanahashi, of all people.
It's crazy, obviously, to be put into those spots, like, at such a young age, against someone like Tanahashi as well, who's obviously from another promotion, so it's a big deal, Tanahashi come over to DDT for that match, did he?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, you know, 2014 Tanahashi is arguably Tanahashi at his peak. That's in the middle of the Okada rivalry, where they're headlining Wrestle Kingdom every year. Yeah. So for DDT, of all people, to put forward this young kid, just speaks volumes.
Yeah, and then just a month later after wrestling Tanahashi, again, this is 2 years into his career. It's insane. Him and Tetsuya Endo beat the Golden Lovers for the KOD Tag Team titles. And after that match is when Omega called Takeshita the future of DDT.
Oh, wow. That's obviously, like, considering everything now, that's the biggest praise possible.
Yeah. I mean, he first won the KOD title on his 21st birthday. Like, I mean, there's just so many accolades with this guy that, I mean, it's only 9 years into his career. Young, I mean, winning it at 21 is the youngest in the championship's history. I mean...
Would you say, like, because he is so young, did you say 26 now?
26, yeah.
So would you say he's still got, like, his best years ahead of him that he hasn't even peaked yet?
Yes, because, you know... As sudden as all this was, it did take the fans a while because, I mean, like we're mentioning here, it was so much so fast that people were like, whoa, I mean, sure, this guy's cool, but it really is within these last 3 years that he's really cemented himself and people are finally getting behind him and believing that he is the guy.
What is his, like, in-ring style like? Like, I know you've compared him to Okada in that being so phenomenal at such a young age. Is he like Okada in the ring or...
Oh, man, you know, there's people that will say, like, someone's an all-arounder, and you don't really know what that means. With him, he truly is an all-arounder. He is such a fanatic for all styles of wrestling. He will go against the shoot guys, grapple them, and beat them, and look better than them on the mat. Like, there's no style that this guy can't do and doesn't love to do. He doesn't have his own style. You know, he's kind of like the pro wrestling version of the Pokemon Ditto. Where it's just, he'll morph to anybody.
That's a phenomenal comparison. I was actually going to ask, like, who would you say, as a wrestler, do you think he has somebody that you could say, you know, Takeshita is like this wrestler? Is a comparison for someone that's never seen Takeshita wrestle before?
No, it really is that phenomenal because he's not going to give you the same Takeshita spots at match to match. He changes his finisher almost, I mean, twice a year. He's like, okay, well, this is no longer my finisher. Now I'm doing this. He's always keeping you guessing. You never know what move is going to end a match. You know, just last year, he started a rivalry with Jun Akiyama, where Akiyama beat him on the mat. So Takeshita spent that entire tournament that year building up a submission finish.
I know, they had a great match. I want to say, like, this year, not too long ago, didn't they? They got highly regarded.
Yeah, they had 3 matches. They had the one that started last year, and then they had one in the tournament last year, and then he lost both of those matches in different ways to Akiyama. So then this year, he finally got the chance after winning the King of DDT tournament, and used that to then finally beat Akiyama.
I mean, I would hope people listening to this know who Jun Akiyama is, of course, of all people.
Fifth pillar.
Who would you say his best opponents are? Like, obviously, I know you've just mentioned you had these classics, the trilogy with Akiyama. Does he have, like, a a main rival of sorts. You know, you'd say you're Okada, you're Omega, you're Tanahashi, yeah. You're Okada as well.
Well, you remember, of course, I know who I'm talking to here, but the Okada-Omega rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
At that same time, he was having a very similar rivalry with Tetsuya Endo, the guy he beat the Golden Lovers with.
Yeah.
Endo ended up turning on Takeshita not long after that. And they started wrestling, you know, 60-minute draws, 30-minute draws, and, you know, they were headlining Budokan and Sumo Hall, and these guys are the big rivals of DDT right now. And for my money, they put on the best quote-unquote spot fest matches. Like, they're going to pull out spots that nobody else can do and do them so smooth. They are perfect for each other. So Endo's his big rival. Throughout the last couple years, you could say Chris Brooks is up there. Chris Brooks came into DDT in, I think, late 2019. And one of his first matches, if not his first match, was against Takeshita for the title, I believe. And just a couple months ago, they had their big title match again where Takeshita broke down and told Chris Brooks that he loves him. I mean, just, you know, it just means so much to Takeshita that all these people around the world want to come and wrestle. And then we saw that when he had that chance to go to AEW earlier this year. You know, he didn't get on Dynamite, and he said that's his big goal. He wants to wrestle on Dynamite. He was only on Dark, but that match with Danny Limelight, it exploded because Takeshita is just able to meld with everybody. He has such buzz to him because he's such a confident worker, and you know he's always going to give his best.
Yeah, I mean, again, that Chris Brooks one is something I saw get traction on social media. I think that Takeshita was saying thank you for coming to Japan and coming to DDT and sticking out during the pandemic and all sorts. I think it was quite an emotional ending, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, and the two since then, that was only a couple months ago, but again, right now we're in that DO tournament. Those two have had another match. It's just their chemistry rivals what Takeshita can do with Endo. Brooks, of course, is a little bit bigger than Endo, but very similar style of wrestler. And that's it's tough because, again, he could work all the different styles, but I do think it's the most accessible because it is just jaw-dropping spot after spot and it's stuff that you're not going to see anybody else take.
Yeah, no, Chris Brooks is definitely a lanky boy. I used to see him all the time on the independents in the UK. Takeshita actually came over, I think, it must have been before the pandemic, but he was somewhere up north and I really wanted to go because, again, he's a name that I see thrown around all the time and he's just someone I know special, but I don't watch DDT, so I don't give him the time and attention. Do you think do you think he sticks out with DDT because, you know, he is essentially their ace, I think? Or do you think he moves on to something bigger? Or
no, I think DDT, you know, of course the cross-promotion stuff, he'll take part in all of that. But he's been a DDT fan since he was a teenager. I believe I read somewhere that the first time he was ever at a DDT show, Dan Shoko Dino gave him a kiss, you know, that Dino spot, he's a polarizing guy. But he went over and kissed little Takeshita, and he said ever since then, big fan of DDT. Just that interactive element that you don't get in other places.
He literally fell in love with wrestling, getting a kiss from Dino. So obviously in DDT as well, you know, when people think, you know, if especially people who don't watch DDT, you hear DDT and you think all the comedy spots. But, you know, someone like Takeshita is proof that, you know, yes, they have their fun, but also they have these amazing matches and they have these well thought out feuds and characters and this deep, long storytelling like, you know, you'd expect in most Japanese promotions. But of course, most people would know it from New Japan.
Yes, it is a double-edged sword with DDT and their comedy because that's the stuff that usually goes viral and that's the stuff that's very polarizing. These days, it's really kept more on the undercard. This DO tournament they're doing right now has all serious wrestlers. You don't have the one comedy guy, or sometimes you have more than one comedy guy, but this year, none. This is a straight-up pure wrestling tournament. So they're really trying to get away from that image when it comes to their top title, at least. You know, they do have their lower titles. You could see, you know, they have like 8-man titles where you can see a lot of goofy shenanigans. They're the the Iron Man title that can end at any time. It doesn't even need to be in a ring type deal, but they're really tightening up when it comes to their main event scene.
So where, like, what is his character, would you say? You know, does he have like a nickname sort of? Like, obviously, you know, you've got the Rainmaker, the Cleaner, the King of Strong Style, the Ace, et cetera, et cetera. Does he have anything of his own?
Not that I know of. It's possible. I just haven't done enough research to find that, but I've never seen one. He just has gone through all these transformations in this young period. I mean, 2017, he had this really embarrassing entrance where he was kind of like the god of wrestling. There was all these bodybuilders next to him. They're all flexing, and he was all oiled up. And it was so much so fast that since then, he's really needed to reinvent himself and really become this wrestler that the company says he is. And there's always a reinvention with him. It's never one thing. It could change from literally month to month on what type of wrestler he is and who he's going against and who his feuds are building with.
And then, obviously, you mentioned AEW earlier, and he was only, he wrestled one, maybe two matches. He obviously had that one with Daniel Lamnott. I think he was in a big tag team match with the Elite as well. Do you think, like, you know, that's where most people are going to know him from? Do you think he got to showcase himself whilst he was there? I know you mentioned the match with Danny Limelight being great, but do you think that was just a small little piece of what he's actually capable of?
Yeah, I mean, he could do so much more. He's one of those guys. He could definitely be on one of those big AEW pay-per-views, and his talent would be able to get him over. I mentioned, you know, possibility of him having a match with Kenny Omega, because 2019, before everything shut down, Omega came back to DDT.
Yeah.
And he wrestled a mixed match.
Yeah.
And Takeshita was one of the guys he was against.
Oh, right.
And Endo was the champion at that time, and it was thought, you know, they were going to build to Endo versus Omega. And, it's all fantasy booking, but if you use enough, you know, you could follow the breadcrumbs enough to think, well, if Omega was going to beat Endo because, you know, Omega's doing the belt collector gimmick, that maybe he would collect the DDT title too, and it'd be Takeshita that takes it off of him. Now, with this whole pandemic thing, that wasn't able to happen, and who knows? I mean, there's all these rumors about Omega and New Japan, maybe. But it's not out of the question that something like that can happen too, and with all the history of him calling to catch the future of DDT, I wouldn't write it out, and I think it'd be a huge boost to him. If not, he can definitely do AEW whenever time allows him. Now that he's champion, maybe time is not of the essence, but we'll see.
I know you mentioned in 2019, was Endo, I remember seeing a video of someone actually challenging Kenny Omega. Was that Tetsuya Endo that challenged Omega?
It may have been, because that makes all the sense in the world to me. I don't remember it.
Yeah, I can't remember. I don't really know much about DDT, but I do know there was a video of someone challenging Omega, and then obviously it just never came to fruition because of bad timing.
Yeah, and that would have been a wild match because, you know, like Takeshita, Endo is just one of those extremely skilled guys at specifically the spot style of wrestling. Like, you're going to see spots from these guys you don't see anywhere. The bumps they take, just so many just groan-inducing neck bumps. They're not afraid to go all out, and that was actually the name of Takeshita's faction, All Out. He had his faction of, Yuki Ino, Shuma Katsumata. There was Diego from Chile was there for a while. And that broke up this year, and they started the 37 Kamina, which translates to Sauna Club, which has a lot of the same guys. But now it's Mao, Yuki, Ueno, not Ino this time, Shuma Katsumata, and Mao? Did I say Mao? Takeshita Mao.
Said Mao, yeah.
new young boy just joined, Toi Kojima. And these are just some of the most athletically gifted wrestlers on the roster. Swapping in and out in tags, different combinations win the tag titles. They're always just stellar big spot matches that I think Takeshita excels in more than any other big match wrestler. He just really gives it all, whether he's in a tag match or the main title.
You mentioned, obviously, Takeshita's matches against Endo and Akiyama, and I'm getting better at saying his name, Takeshita. The more we do this podcast, it's going to stick. What matches of Takeshita's specifically would you recommend? Do you have any personal favorites or just ones that you know that the general your general wrestling fan will love more than most? Or
well, the DO tournament usually has an outsider in the tournament. In the last few years, it's usually been that outsider who wins the tournament to challenge the champion. Now, in 2018, he wrestled a match with Goshi Ozaki in the final.
Oh, wow.
Which, phenomenal match. I thought that was Takeshita's best match to his career at that point. That was December 30th, 2018. Takeshita won that, won the tournament. That was one of the rare instances where an outsider actually didn't win the tournament.
Did you just call that? Did you just remember that date off the top of your head, or did you have that pre-planned?
Let's just say it was off the top of my head. and then just a couple weeks ago, they brought in Big Japan's Yuji Okabayashi.
Yep.
And they just had a match that went to a 30-minute draw. And how this DO tournament's going right now is, so everybody still has one match left. Now, Okabayashi has won every match except the draw. Takeshita has won every match except the draw. They mathematically are the only two still able to win the tournament.
Yeah.
So if they both win, then it will be a tiebreaker third match. Or I guess if they both lose in that instance too, they'd have that same situation. Yeah. So that seems to be the way they're going to go. And if you've never seen Yuji Okabayashi, he is Big Japan's, I mean, Sekimoto is still there, but Okabayashi is kind of that next pillar in Big Japan. Just real hard-hitting guy. And I thought his match with Takeshita, it's so funny because every year in these situations, I'm like, this is Takeshita's best match of his career. He's just steadily getting better to where, I mean, I can't pin down one match in particular and be like, that's his best, because I know by the time we're done with this podcast, I've probably seen a better Takeshita match coming up in the next few days. He is phenomenal, but any Chris Brooks match, any Tetsuya Endo match, the ace of DDT is Takeshita right now, but the ace before him was Hiroshima. And in 2019, Takeshita lost the title to Hiroshima. Everybody thought Takeshita already made it. You know, Hiroshima hadn't been the champion for a bit. It's like, oh, this is just going to be, you know, like Tanahashi putting over Okada again. But yep. It wasn't. So Hiroshima won. He got the title back. And, well, now Hiroshima hasn't won a single match in this tournament.
Jesus.
You know, I know, he's 0-4. So he has one more match to go, and it's going to be against Okabayashi. Now, there's a world where he spoils Okabayashi here and helps this guy ascend.
Yeah.
Or Hiroshima and Okabayashi just this year were the KOD tag team champions together. There could be something wonky going on there. But I mean, who's to say? What's really exciting about all of this is you see where they're going to go. It's just exciting to watch how they're going to pull it off, because they're not one of those promotions that feels like they have to go. And there are so many different people. They have such a great core group of guys that you could see multiple people being the one to upend Takeshita.
I think you've got a future as a hype man. Like, you just explaining what's going on with those this final match heading into the final match of the tournament. You know, I've not kept up. I couldn't have told you a single thing about it. But now I'm really curious to know how it's all going to end, especially with the history of them having the draw as well.
Yeah, it's really wild how this tournament's played out, because when it started, us DDT fans always fall into the same trap the last 3, maybe 4 years now. We see Kazusada Higuchi and we say, Higuchi's winning the tournament. He's a young guy, he's around Takeshita. Well, I think he's older than Takeshita, Takeshita started so early. But 7 years now, I guess, of Higuchi and DDT. He's an ex-sumo guy, and he's just this massive man who is pretty similar to Okabayashi in just like the hard hitting levels. And when the tournament started, we were like, okay, well, again, this is going to be Higuchi's year. He's never done it before, but we're going to stay with our guy. He faces Takeshita on the final night, but if Higuchi wins, he's only getting up to 6 points. Takeshita already has 7. So it's wild just how often this company turns everything on its head, because normally, you know, a wrestling company, a match between two people on the final night means something. Yeah. But in this case, it's two separate matches that mean something. It's not what they do against that person in particular, but it's what they're the person they're tied with does. So it's wild, wacky, you know, and this is kind of the wackiness people, I think, can stomach more than a lot of DDT's known wackiness.
Yeah, of course. In the tournament, is it like, you know, what we're used to in G1, pin the champion and you'll get a shot at a title?
Yeah. That normally happens. The champion doesn't take many falls, and because it's not like the G1 where you have to have 10 people in the tournament and there's 9 matches.
Yeah.
In this case, there's 6 people in the block, so you only have 5 matches. So the loss you do take is going to be much more significant.
Right. And as well, because Takeshita's headed into the tournament as champion, if he wins, does he name his own challenger? Or
I believe he would be able to. It's one of those things. We see it in New Japan, right? Everybody kind of speculates that, but it never happens, so we don't really know exactly how it would go down. But that would make all the sense in the world to me.
And then if he does, you think he's going to name Kenny Omega if he pulls off the big win?
I would really hope so, because I think that's the biggest match. I mean, for many obvious reasons. And then you just add on the fact Kenny Omega is a DDT guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's losing all the titles.
Yeah, it writes itself, doesn't it? Like, obviously, Kenny just lost the title, but just him, you know, homecoming for DDT for him, it puts so much eyes on DDT. It puts so much eyes on Takeshita, who, you know, from everything I'm getting from you, deserves all the attention in the world. You know, it's one of them things, like I say, I'd love to watch Takeshita and watch DDT, but my wrestling appetite isn't as big as most, as some people. But I'm obviously going to go out of my way to watch him versus a Kenny Omega.
Yeah, I mean, just wrestling Kenny Omega, huge deal. You have the Wrestle Universe. You get months free leading up to January. So I think if people hop on now and see what this guy has going on and the possibility, again, it may not be Kenny Omega. Like, maybe I'm getting people too hyped for a possible Takeshita Kenny Omega match. But I'm really thrown off here with Higuchi being eliminated from this tournament because he was kind of the expected winner. You know, people were expecting Higuchi to win this block, Tetsuya Endo to win his block. Because Tetsuya Endo just got kicked out of his faction was just broken up. They had to dissolve. So, and he was the lead heel. So now he's kind of in flux here, where it's like, is he a heel? Is he not? What's going on? And because he's Takeshita's ex-partner who turned heel, there could be... So, I mean, it's entirely possible that we're getting Takeshita Endo with different dynamics this time in the final. All of this is extremely interesting, and I think no matter what, even if you don't get your Kenny Omega, if you subscribe right now, you're going to be getting your money's worth. Because again, it's free, but then they're going to charge you in January, like you're locked down, you can't cancel. So they're getting their $10 from you. But if you can get 2.5 months for free, I think you should jump on that.
100%. And it's not just DDT either, is it? It's Noah, and I don't know if there's anyone else on there too.
Yeah, there's Noah, there's Tokyo Joshi Pro, there's Gambare Pro. Lots of good stuff on that website.
Yeah, it's insane the value for money, really, isn't it? So obviously, you know, he's got this big history, Takeshita. Like we said, he showed up in AEW and he only had these two matches, which seems kind of weird. I don't know if he'd done anything else whilst he was in the States as well. It makes me think, you know, there was bigger things planned, whether, you know, they got thrown, of course, for whatever reason, whether that's him longer in America or Kenny or someone from AEW coming to put the spotlight onto DDT. Do you think there's a future for Takeshita, like, in AEW at all? You know, you mentioned him showing up in pay-per-views, or do you think there's going to be like any particular AEW guys that you might like to see Sharp and DDT to take on Takeshita in his home turf?
Yeah, that's interesting. You remember the early days of AEW, the Stronghearts were there. Yeah, of course, they have their alliance with Young Bucks. You know, they came up in Dragon Gate together.
Yeah.
So you would think, I mean, why not? You know, once the world opens back up, why not have Takeshita over there? He's just one of those guys that there's no doubt in my mind he wouldn't blow up. And he has this whole faction of guys. There's five in total now with the young boy Kojima joining. And these guys are seriously, like, the best athletes, I'd say, in Japan when it comes to spots. They're just going to blow everybody away. I mean, I think there's, you know, on the people who watch more than the surface-level promotions, you know, they go to the DDT, they go to the Dragon Gate. And Dragon Gate's known for their tag matches, historically. And right. You're seeing people this year say, DDT has kind of taken Dragon Gate's place for the good tag matches. That's just how crisp and consistent these guys are. So even if it wasn't like a big singles match, I could see these guys in particular all going over there and taking over, and they're just highlight reels.
So one final question for you, Rob, about Takeshita. We touched on it a little bit already, but where do you see him in the future? Do you think he's, you know, DDT forever? I know you said a bit already, but do you think he just becomes their all-time great, or what do you think the future holds for Takeshita?
I mean, who knows with the wrestling landscape, right? Things have been changing a lot the last couple of years. But I see him being extremely loyal to it. And, you know, with this new Wrestle Universe, you know, them partnering with Noah, it just seems like there's so much momentum on their side that there's no other place I could really see him wanting to go.
He says he wants to bring the eyes to them. He doesn't want to go elsewhere. He wants the eyes to come to DDT, it seems.
Yeah, I think that would be what he aims for. Because, you know, Noah has their tournaments, and they've been partnered with Noah. I mean, like I mentioned, Go Shiozaki came over for their tournament a couple years ago. There hasn't been DDT guys going over there. You think if anybody did, it'd be Takeshita. And if he did, he would excel because he could wrestle that real hard style as well. But the fact that he hasn't is kind of potentially telling that, you know, he wants people to be watching his promotion and not watching, you know, him wrestle and others.
Yeah, no, that's something to be said for that. Can't think of the word, you know, but obviously he wants to bring the eyes to them. He's proud of what he's achieving over there. He's proud of his roots and everything. And there's something to be said for that. It's, you know, it's really, you know, big respect for someone that's willing to do that.
Yeah, because we see, I mean, historically, it's not really the case, right? We've had Ibushi leave. We've had Kenny Omega leave. You know, so if he could be that guy that really sticks with it, I mean, they have Hiroshima as the ace, and Hiroshima's one of those guys. He never left either. But wrestling's blowing up so much right now with the streaming services that he could, I mean, I'm not sure how many people have actually even seen the prime Hiroshima. So Takeshita really has potential here to blow DDT up bigger than it's ever been.
I think that's a perfect wrap up on Takeshita. So at the top of the show, you know, noob star, 10 star noob rating system, I gave myself a 2 on my knowledge of Takeshita. I got some first hand lessons from you, Rob. I loved it. You had your opinions in there, you had your facts, great recommendations, basically everything you'd get via your Twitter, but just instead over a podcast. I'm easily bumping that up to a 6, if not a 7. You know, I know that Takeshita is a super rookie. I know when all said and done, he's going to probably go down as the greatest in DDT history if he does stick there, like you seem to think, that he's capable of these incredible matches and he's got these deep-rooted rivalries with guys like Chris Brooks and Tetsuya Endo. I'm absolutely need to sit down and take the time to watch some of his stuff, especially the Go Shiozaki match. That just seems like it would be up anyone's alley. If you like wrestling, that sounds like a match that you would love, no matter what style of wrestling you like.
And I think that's free on YouTube if you go to DDT's Twitter. If you go to their YouTube, my bad.
Yeah, no, cool. That makes life even easier. Right, well, Thank you for listening to Noob Japan, everyone. Hopefully you learned something. If you didn't learn something, hopefully you enjoyed yourself. If you didn't enjoy yourself or learn something, that's a portion of your life you're never getting back. But come back for the next episodes, please. Thank you again, Rob, for joining me. Please follow Rob on Twitter at bmccooley, bemccooley. And check out his work as part of Eastern Lariat as well. This is the part of the podcast where I ask you to subscribe, rate, and review because it supposedly helps with stuff. If you would like to come on the show as an enthusiast or a noob, please reach out to me on Twitter. I'm always looking for fellow fans to join me, so please reach out to me on Twitter at KieranRH2. Rob, you were the perfect guest. Like I said, your knowledge is second to none. I would love to have you on again, and I feel like I could speak to you forever about all these guys I don't know anything about and have this newfound adoration for them.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for asking me to be on, man. This is really cool. As you could tell, I love gushing about wrestlers I'm passionate about. So anytime you want me, I'll talk about anybody.
Amazing. Thank you so much. That was Noob Japan. We are Wrestle In, and now we're out.